Welcome, listeners, to Connect the Dots. I'm Allison Rose Levy, and I'm here with you every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network. Each week on Connect the Dots, we connect the dots between your personal health and well-being and what's going on in our total environment. We talk about the health of communities, the health of society, the health of our families, the health and ecological balance of food, water, air, and earth, the condition of our society, which is not very healthy right now, and all of the ramifications of all of that on the ecological balance of our life source, planet Earth. Each week on Connect the Dots, I talk to different authors, experts, thought leaders, advocates, activists, filmmakers, artists, and others about the different facets of all the different things that make up our world and impact our well-being and the balance of Mother Earth. For this week's special Thanksgiving broadcast, I'm really, really feel honored and grateful and delighted to have with me someone who is a member of the Aquinnah Wampanoag tribe. My guest today, Carol Vandal, is a descendant of tribal chief medicine men and women and tribal leaders. The Wampanoag tribe, which Carol will tell us more about, is located in the eastern part of the United States, in the Cape, Martha's Vineyard, and the, you know, the eastmost part of this country. As hopefully many of you listeners know, and if not, you'll learn more about it in today's show, there has been a very significant uprising by Native Americans, by First Nation peoples, going on for the last several months, and they have been joined by many other peoples in their courageous actions to protect the water and the earth. And that's why at this time I think it's really essential for us to go back and look at a little history and really consider what and who we have to thank and be grateful for at the time of Thanksgiving, the fact that they're, you know, who really, you know, it's not just really just for ourselves personally, but it's really, and it's not just about feeling grateful and that's a good feeling for me and then I'm done, but it's really about looking at to whom we owe thanks, gratitude, and more than just emotional feelings of the heart, real respect, dignity, and protection of the land and the peoples who have welcomed white settlers to the United States. So that will be our theme of today's show, and we'll be talking with Carol Vandal. Carol, welcome to Connect the Dots. I'm so happy to have you here today.
Thank you, Allison. I'm very happy to be here. I am honored to be here and very grateful for your asking me to join you today.
You know, one of the things that I think, you know, what happens in American society, Western society, is that we have many of these traditional holidays. We don't really look closely at their roots. And then to add to it, they become kind of commercialized. That's a little less so for Thanksgiving, which is more about a kind of family holiday, in that it's a little bit more, you know, a little less about buying plastic objects and shiny things in some of our, or, you know, celebrating something we no longer feel very proud of. And yet, and actually, personally, Thanksgiving, for that reason, has always been my favorite holiday. This year, I made a decision to abstain for a number of reasons, one of which is a sense of solidarity and really looking back at the other side of Thanksgiving, what that, you know, one group of people is celebrating and another group of people is mourning something that has happened in the past and that continues to happen to this very day, not only to this very day, but to this time, to this week, to the hour, that some are celebrating the bounty of the land and the generosity with which it was given as if it's theirs for the taking, while others are mourning the advent onto this land and onto the earth of a certain kind of dominance that doesn't respect and give back. I wonder, you know, if you could share with our listeners how, you know, what a Native perspective on Thanksgiving is like, you know, the good and the bad of it, you know?
Sure. Well, as we talk, I tend to talk in circles, so I will begin with growing up on Martha's Vineyard in the school system where you're taught about Thanksgiving, and it's thought of in a whole different perspective than what we grew up on my Native side and learned. And so you grow up with mixed feelings, and as a youngster, you embrace it, and the Pilgrims and inviting us to you know, a meal that really they happen to land in the fall, in the summer, it may have been, and they landed when we were celebrating our harvest. Our people looked upon them and said, oh, these poor sickly people, we need to help them. Because we understand that people are of the land, we are from the land, we are the land. And we did this every harvest. We gave thanks to all the foods that the Creator has given us, to all life that the Creator has given us. Before we harvest, we give prayer, we give thanks, we acknowledge why we are taking this food, why we are taking from our earth, and hence from ourselves. And by doing this, we acknowledge in a humble way all that's given to us. Now, as a kid, you know, you don't really see that perspective. You don't understand it as much, even though you go out and you know, your grandfather, who was our chief medicine man, was telling us about these things, and our elders would always tell us about these things. As you become older, you start realizing it. Then you start hearing and understanding. As you come into age, you start understanding the fact that what really happened to our people and those that landed at Plymouth Rock, over time, we welcomed them, we helped them understand the foods that were indigenous to this continent and how they could grow them and survive. And in the long run, we were not respected in the same way. We were at one point, because we wouldn't war against the Narragansett and other tribal people that the colonists feared were going to, you know, war on them, we were basically made into slaves, and we were eventually our chief was killed, and because we would not war against the Narragansett. Our chief's life was taken, his head was decapitated, and his head was put on a staff for over two decades to remind us that if we as Native people did not follow their instructions to do as they saw fit, that this would happen to all of us. Now that breaks my heart. It is a time of mourning for that, but it's a time for mourning for all of our tribes throughout this whole country, because it changed our way of life. Many, many tribes welcomed the settlers, and we traded, and we did things, and we taught each other different things, and we looked at that in a holistic, healthy way. And soon, we were falling to disease and neglect and losing that in which we loved, by clear-cutting so that they could colonize and starting to own lands that we didn't have that concept of owning something that we believed that we were one with. We shared and we loved it and embraced it. So that is part of what that's about. We feast, but we feast in thanks every day. When we gather, we laugh, we love, we bring to our table and to our families good feelings. in lieu of what is going on today in Standing Rock, it's a difficult thing. It's a difficult time. Will I eat with friends and family? Yes. My prayers that I give will be for health and well-being of us and of the many generations to come. And that will only happen if we love, honor, and respect our Mother Earth and the very water that is being depleted by human abusing it through pipelines, through toxic chemicals, mining, and on the list goes. And until we can make that change and stand up with those that are fighting for it in Standing Rock, there won't be the future generations. And when they do come, they'll be plagued with many, many illnesses.
That is a tragedy in process that, you know, we're all accountable for. You know, one of the things that you're mentioning there is that the view, the understanding over passed down through families over many generations of the human oneness with the earth and with other peoples, all peoples, and even animals and plants, really, everything,
yes,
is not something that those of a Western mind can readily access. You know, it's something that we have been presented a bifurcated picture in which, you know, you're separate from me, you know, the person over there and their troubles has nothing to do with me. I am successful, or I am okay, or I am happy. All of these individual attainments that actually differentiate us from other people and disconnect us from the whole. And then Westerners then go back and try to recreate and rediscover that wholeness through connection with nature or with different spiritual paths. You know, they try to regain a sense of oneness that has been lost in us, has been, you know, fragmented through our civilization and mindsets, but which is a foundational given to you and the Native people of this country, who therefore really stand as teachers, you know. So let's, you know, so what's going on in Standing Rock is not something, you know, that's happening way over there to a group of people with whom I have no connection, or, you know, the listeners of the show have no connection. This is something, these are people, their uprising is something we all can be connected to and are connected to, whether we know it or not. So let's just talk about the nature of that uprising. First off, some listeners to the show may be aware of this and following the many videos that are showing up on Facebook and on YouTube that are keeping millions of people in this country informed and up to date with everything that has been going on there for many months. Other people never knew any of this was happening because they follow traditional, conventional news outlets that don't report on this at all. So whatever category you are in, listeners, as we begin to discuss this, I want to encourage you to get, you know, to listen to, you know, what we're going to tell about this, and then also to get involved in actively following it and sharing it with people, so that instead of having a group of people in the country going on living their lives in denial of what's going on or in complete ignorance of it, really, we have more and more people who are aware of it. And this helps all of us for reasons that we'll talk about. So, Carol, could you give our listeners a background on, you know, what is happening basically is that tribal peoples in Standing Rock, North Dakota, have gathered in a large gathering in order to interrupt the process of the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline, That is the abbreviation for that, for those of you who tweet or anything, is DAPL, D-A-P-L, Dakota Access Pipeline, a construction of a large multinational called Energy Transfer. And the people who are gathered to oppose this are called, you know, or basically their Twitter hashtag is No DAPL. And so that's become a shorthand for how people refer to this movement. When did the uprising begin? And what exactly are the people gathered there, both Native water protectors and others who have come in solidarity to join and help them? What exactly are they specifically trying to do, Carol, and what are they actually protecting?
Well, the short form is we are protecting water, because water is life. Water gives us life. Without it, nothing on this earth will survive. Now, the long part of it is this. The Dakota Access Pipeline has established itself, beginning in North Dakota, at the Bakken oil fields. The Bakken oil fields, they're taking oil from there, and they are putting in pipelines that will run it all the way down to the coast, down through. Now, the four key states that we are concerned with is North Dakota, South Dakota, Illinois, and Iowa, because starting in Cannonball is a very important water source that they want to put several hundred pipes, you know, connecting under the Missouri River. This will affect the Standing Rock Sioux tribe's drinking water. That's their major source, as it feeds, and some of the tributaries feed into the Cannonball area where they get their lake that they get their water from.
Mm-hmm.
So, number one, we know that the byproducts of oil and oil itself is carcinogenic. The increase of cancer is tenfold will happen. Pipes, as we know, leak. They eventually just begin leaking. And we also know the history of DAPL, which has many, many spills and many, many sightings for taking shortcuts in their process of laying pipe. And when you take shortcuts, there's bound to be an incident that occurs.
Yes, we've seen this. I can confirm this because we've seen this over and over throughout the country. And, you know, listeners, regular listeners to the show, you know, we follow that all over the place. These pipes always leak. The safety corners are always cut. There are explosions, regular leaks of methane, you know, leaks that harm, both pollute, as you mentioned, and also accelerate climate change through the leakage of methane and other gases. And the pipes, coincidentally, many of them are built by the Halliburton Company, you know, which has been a familiar theme on this show. And so these pipe leakages are a given. Just wanted to interject that and confirm that.
Yes. And you know, of all people, that this oil that is being pipelined will be exported. This country will not reap the benefits from that. 570,000 gallons, barrels a day will be exported down that pipeline and exported. Wow.
And it goes through a refinery in Texas that is owned by the Koch family. And also leading environmentalists such as Bill McKibben, James Hansen, the very people that we listen to and follow the science, and, you know, an international concord of global scientists completely agree about this. And, in fact, their predictions of how persistent fossil fuel use by humans, you know, has led toward, is leading toward, and now we have it with us with the melting of the Arctic ice cap, to, you know, irreversible climate change. And, you know, so they were predicting it there for, you know, over 25 years. Everyone ignored it. There was a huge funded campaign of pseudoscience to create confusion in the public mind that this was some kind of, you know, kind of manipulation, and there was no truth to it. In fact, you know, all the scientists all over the world agree to it. It's only those funded by vested industries that, you know, kind of don't agree. And in fact, even the scientists, their estimates were conservative, and it's now moving more rapidly and has accelerated further than they had predicted. One of the reasons is that, you know, there's been this boom in, you know, in gas, in Bakken, in deep oil excavation, you know, and all of that is just pushing this along. So on the one hand, and down a deadly road, really, you know, and you know, we have the Paris Climate Treaty, which says we shan't, you know, we can never exceed this limit. The limit is exceeded in the first year because it's voluntary, and it's a voluntary limit. And this, you know, has sadly occurred under a Democratic presidential administration, very likely to continue and worsen under the next Republican administration. So, you know, what's happened with these companies, too, as we've covered on the show before, Carol, is that they go community by community by community. So one small community is fighting it, and you never hear about it, and another small community is fighting it because these pipelines are all built in segments. What happened with this segment of the Dakota Access Pipeline is that these Bakken pipeline builders, Energy Transfer and Enbridge and all their allies, encountered people that would not be moved. People mm-hmm. who did not have to be recruited and educated because they didn't understand what was happening to them, or, you know, some small group of activists in a community understood, and the rest of the community is, well, if there was a problem, it couldn't be happening. So that's what happens in, you know, other communities. But in the Native community, everyone mobilized instantly. So could you, and has remained there and has remained committed there. So it's actually not only for the sake of that community, but for all our sakes that here is a community and a tribal people who were originally the people of this land, who really understand what is at stake and are making a stand for their water and for all of our future ability to habitat, you know, to use this planet as a habitat and a life source. Can you describe, like, what the situation on the ground at Standing Rock and the allied areas there is right now in terms of the presence of the water protectors?
I can. Sure. Mm-hmm. I can do that, but I'm going to back up a little bit because you talked about vested interests.
Yes.
They were originally going to start their pipeline up closer to the Bakken fields and in Bismarck, North Dakota, north mm-hmm. of the Standing Rock Sioux. The people resisted. Now, this is mostly a non-Native community, so they said, okay, there's another way, and we'll do it here. So then it became our problem as Native people. Now, Native people have treaty rights to water that we should have. As one of the sayings goes, we shall enjoy those rights as long as the rivers shall run and the grass will grow and be green.
Mm.
Our treaty rights give us the right to speak up via the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA,
mm-hmm.
dealing firsthand with them, dealing firsthand with the Corps of Engineers, and our tribe. We each should be doing a communication piece before a project infringes upon a body of water that will affect our people. Mm-hmm. This did not occur. So they took it from Bismarck and they put it there and they just began without allowing the tribes their inherent rights to speak up and put a halt to this. So that was neglected. The president said, hold on, you know, I will let you voluntarily cease and desist. Of course, DAPL has big money invested in this. They didn't cease and desist, and they continued. So more and more people, I mean, there are over 300 tribes, and there are people from other countries, the Maori, and people from all over the world that are coming and showing support that they want this to halt, cease and desist. Mm-hmm. What is going on? There was a, people are camping. There were three campsites in the beginning. And on October 27th, the North Camp was raided and broken up. At that time, military resistance people came in with Humvees and sound cannons, which are not only are they loud and damaging to the ear, they are so loud that the vibrations go out through the body and can traumatize your organs. They were used. Tear gas, pepper spray. Dogs were brought in to attack people. Now, our people have not had any weapons. Our weapon is prayer. We pray to the Creator, help us, please. That's all we do. We stand there unarmed, hardly with any eye protection or face protection or gas masks or anything, out there trying to just hold hands and block these people from going to the water, getting to that source, that valuable source of water.
So they have been requested to voluntarily cease and desist. Instead, they continue to try to build. And, of course, this is also highly characteristic of all of the pipelines and all the communities across the country. And, you know, if the trade agreements pass, this will also be a disease exported by, multinational corporations from, you know, Western society that will disseminate the same process and the same poisoning and environmental destruction all across the earth. So, you know, this whole thing of, well, they, and of course they were not told, you shall absolutely desist. They were told, because the law or the presidential executive decision requires it, they were taught, you can voluntarily desist. And of course, they have not done so because they're under severe financial constraints, you know, for the billions of dollars they borrowed and, you know, made promises and deals with those associated with them, you know, to reach certain benchmarks. And then here are communities, here are nations with which the U.S. Has been in formal prior agreement. Here are water supplies that and an earth that we need for future generations, and that is all nothing to them. A note comes due, and sad to say, they have, under the auspices of the local police, brought in to our country, and this is really a first as far as I know it, mercenary trained military to attack harmless civilians. So we're not talking merely about bad police who go around, arresting people, which, of course, that also has been happening, treating them inhumanely and in a fashion not in keeping with the law of this land or of global law. But we also have, like what we would do with a foreign country, invading people who were paid, who were operating outside of any law, to enforce the will of a private business entity, the gas and oil companies. Again, I'm just going to mention to people that if this is all news to you, you've never heard this before, you'd like to, which I invite you to validate and find or find out more and share information about this, you know, but look into it yourselves. You can Google Standing Rock, No Dapple, and you will find a wealth of articles in independent media. The Native American media has been doing terrific journalism and reporting. Many people have been standing up and bearing witness and reporting through YouTubes. Carol, do you want to mention any other direct source that people can go to? Because I just want people listening to this, to whom this may be new, to, you know, you're hearing about it, and you know, we want to tell the story in every different form of media outlet that there is, and there's, you know, and we're doing it here through a radio program, but you can also see visually exactly what we're describing in terms of the dogs and everything else. And so I ask people, don't turn your face away from this. Look at it, verify it for yourself, share it with others. Where else, Carol, would you recommend that people go online in order to inform themselves and get and stay up to date? Because this is unfolding. You know, we're giving you a history here, but the whole thing is continuing.
Basically, like you said, a Google search of Standing Rock Sioux Tribe will bring you some very updated notifications on what is happening and how they're trying to halt the pipeline and these violent clashes that are happening toward our unarmed people. The tribal leader, Dave Archambault, is constantly trying to call out for Congress and for the president to stop this violent clash. We have a right to protest. It's our constitutional right to do so. So why is this not being shut down?
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening is the media, I'm sorry to say, is distorting the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a $3.8 billion funded atrocity that's mm-hmm. going to contaminate water. And disturb mm-hmm. not only that, our sacred burial sites. These sacred burial sites are another thing that is protected by our inherent rights.
Mm-hmm.
If they find mm-hmm. burial remains, they're supposed to cease and desist any action. Those were found. Nothing was done. They have
In fact,
to do a,
they treated
an archaeological
them.
Study.
Mm-hmm.
And they just they. That's when the uprising began. That was partially why on October 27th, everything came to a standing up with more numbers, calling for more numbers, because we, you know, people were crying. It was that our ancestors, it was our people that they were mm-hmm. disturbing, and mm-hmm. it doesn't matter if the land is private or public. When Native American remains are found, we have the right to repatriate them, to take them and rebury them elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. And instead,
they weren't asking. Right.
They behave very callously toward with these remains. They not only ran roughshod over them, but they behaved in a kind of disrespectful and sacrilegious fashion, such as any. Anyone who either is of a path of belief of their own of any kind, whether affiliated or not, such as anyone who, you know, just respects that other people have beliefs, you know, it would be like digging up and putting into, garbage trucks, you know, the contents of Arlington Cemetery, just to give a metaphor. I mean, I certainly would hope that would never happen, or at any place, you know, where, you know, the dead of any people, you know, are in their physical resting place. You know, this is like what happened. So, you know, so this is not only, there's an added element of cruelty, disrespect, humiliation to other people. And sad to say, you know, we're not expecting good things from the next administration because of, you know, the many gas and oil affiliated people that are entering into key governmental positions, as well as people who are affiliated with the Kochs who own, you know, the refinery that all of this is going to. But this is all happening, you know, under a Democratic president during a Democratic election. You know, it's really a startling kind of thing. Can you tell our listeners, you know, because this is like with each thing that happens, you know, it's just horrifying and really hard to believe. But this last week, the attacks, the nighttime attack, the very week of Thanksgiving, instead of you know, giving thanks to the descendants of the people who welcomed original settlers to this country, the ancestors of some, or, you know, our kind of ancestors in democracy, who welcomed and fed those people and helped them, you know, kind of get settled and know how to find the foods that they needed in this new ecology that they were living in. Those very people, this is their descendants. This is how we repay. You know, we can speak of gratitude. We can speak of forgiveness. We say, I'm thankful. Who are you thankful to? Because we're not really giving the appropriate thanks to the people who really helped us. This is how we're repaying them. So, Carol, could you tell our listeners, like, what's just gone down this very week of Thanksgiving?
Absolutely. Sunday, the mark of Thanksgiving week. Early hours of the morning, I was awakened, actually. I follow so closely on Facebook, but I was awakened to one of my major friends who does a live feed. He's a videographer, and he does a video with a drone that sees what's going on. He's even done such quality video that they've shot it down from the sky so that, you know, to take it in and confiscate it so that he could not publicize what was going on. So on the morning, in the early hours of the morning, which is just cruel in itself, campers were woken up and people had to rush to the barricade because they began using water cannons, which is high force, like what fire trucks use to put out fires. These water cannons were being sprayed upon people. Now, at first, NBC News was reporting that they were putting out a fire. Well, we have footage of them spraying people in 26-degree weather. Leads to hypothermia. You don't need to be a scientist to know this. 200 people stepped up to the line. Injuries of 200 people occurred. Many, many people suffered hypothermia because all they have is clothes. They didn't have waterproof clothing, and even if they did, they would still suffer hypothermia. One elder went into cardiac arrest. His heart stopped. They revived him and brought him to the local hospital. EMS, because of the blockade, what was happening was there were two huge trucks that were, we don't know who started them on fire, but they were set on fire during the October 27th rise up. That occurred. And they, being DAPL and the security people, said they would remove those huge trucks that were blocking the road so people could have access in and out. Because those were there, people were not getting food supplies. People were not getting water. People were not getting access to medical, things, to the medicine that we needed. And we're using, of course, we're homeopathic medicines, and with pepper spray and things, you need milk of magnesia to put on your face and in your eyes, basically, to get rid of the burning. So all these things were being denied. Now, the only time we really see this type of thing is during war.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I go, wow, the war is happening in our own homelands against our own people.
Right.
It's unjust. It's not civil.
Mm-hmm.
So this went on, and they tried to use the noise cannon, that high pitched, but it didn't work because it was too cold.
Hmm.
So people weren't, awoken to that. But what happened is, people got up there and they tried to move those trucks. And when those trucks were being moved, instead of them helping them like they said they would, they said within, we'll move them, in a couple of days. Well, it's been 3 weeks. They weren't moved. So people said, we're having desperate times. We need to move this. We need
mm-hmm.
to get medicine and food. So then that's how we were met. We were met with a violent clash, while all we were doing was trying to help our families. Now, there are families there. There's a school there with children. There are elders. And because whenever we camp, whether it's to use what is given to us from the land, whether we have a maple sugar camp or whether we're wild ricing, in the old days we camped and we brought our families there. And the education piece that we taught still happens.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Minnesota for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in and worked at a school that taught the Dakota language and the Anishinaabe, the Ojibwe language. These were things that are valued by us.
Mm-hmm.
And we also taught the culture and the understanding of how to live in harmony, not only with Mother Earth, but all that is given here, the,
mm-hmm.
the many races. Because
mm-hmm.
we all have a purpose here. And those things were forgotten as colonists mm-hmm. started, taking over. So, yes, the tribal chairman is speaking out every day. And, again, he has reached out to Obama to halt the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday,
how,
even.
A lot of people are just really finding it hard to understand why the federal government and President Obama, a man of color, who obviously that was a factor in many people's joy in electing him, how he is allowing this to persist. Before the election, he said, we'll let it go on for a few weeks and see what's happening. It's not that he doesn't know this is going on, but, this is what's happening after he allowed it to continue happening. We have a recent election of someone who, we're very concerned about human rights, civil rights, the environment, and all else in the next presidency, but a lame duck session, the period after the new president has been elected, the outgoing president is going out. This is a time when people, presidents traditionally have done things that are out of the box, that they can't, pass through government, that they, they traditionally, in various ways, let people off the hook. The word is eluding me right now, but they forgive or let go of sentences. I mean, this has been
mm-hmm.
done for wealthy people in the past. Clemency.
Yeah,
it'd be the mm-hmm. right time to do that for another you know, wrongfully incarcerated Native American for, you know, Leonard Peltier. But, you know, certainly there's no repercussion in that I won't be elected again for a president taking action, you know, on this situation, and yet we have silence. You know, I mean, this is, like, really heartbreaking. I mean, the people that have gone there are really under or are putting themselves at threat to protect all our water. Let's just also say for a second what people who are listening to this program can do. Please distribute the program to others, because people can go to Standing Rock if they are, you know, strong and able to withstand the cold weather. They can perform various supportive functions there. People who are unable to go can provide financial support. Carol, you recently hosted a terrific benefit concert, you know, to provide financial support, you know, so that people could contribute and help the people at Standing Rock. You know, where can people go to make a financial contribution right now?
There is, well, if you're a Facebook user, you can look at the Sacred Stone Camp Fund, which is the name of in which they're calling one of the camps. The, and I may not pronounce it correctly, the Osheti camp also has a fund. There is a legal fund because hundreds of people have been arrested, and ironically, their bail is, they exploited and super high for basically these. No one has raised a hand against it. You watch them. These people are trained in how to demonstrate or how to protect and how to you know, be at peace when you are arrested. So and also Standing Rock Sioux Tribe will give a great, if you Google Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and go to their website, they give various ways in which you can give. And please realize that our national media are not reporting. Amy Goodman with Democracy Now! Is doing accurate reporting. A lot of the things we're hearing are minimalized. Like, okay, so they may not have used water cannons per se, but they did use water hoses. That's a good example. These water hoses not only were just water, they were injected with pepper spray, which in that cold weather, water and mixing of tear gas causes respiratory issues. So a lot of people then began to have respiratory problems. That's one of the reasons why I won't go out there, is because I have asthma, and winter cold weather exasperates it. And on top of what? Pepper spray? It's frightening what's going on out there, and I am grateful and to our water protectors and all people who go out there. I pray for them daily, several times a day. I'm grateful to the people of Martha's Vineyard Island who gave nearly $10,000 to donate to the funds. Some are going directly to the Sacred Stone Camp Fund for materials that they need to keep warm and the medicines that they need. The other money will be going to make certain that the people that are there are finding the right resources that they need. And our community on this island turned out in large numbers. 500 people were probably in and out of that throughout the hours. The musicians that donated their time. I just am so grateful to see such a strong community. This is the type of community that is being formed at Standing Rock. people are coming together with one cause, for one cause, but a cause that will be helpful for generations to come, with love and compassion. That is what Thanksgiving is about. Love, compassion for everything that is given to us, that was given to us by the Creator through love. And money seems to have gotten in the way of us understanding what love is. Materialism is not what's going to help us. We won't back down. We will not back down. They can beat us and maim us, and you can see that happening. But we walk with every step we take. We consider and hold in our heart the next seven generations and more. We are living here today for those to come, not for ourselves. And that is endemic to all of us. It's something that all of us Native people realize. And when the elders would tell stories, they'd be like, the colonists were supposed to learn this. We had that to give and to help them understand. And they wouldn't listen. Because
you're still teaching. Yeah, you're still teaching. The teaching continues. And, you know, just living for ourselves, just living for today, sadly, you know, this is what Westerners are taught to do. You know, if I, and I, you know, this show began and out of my work to help people, you know, regain their individual health. And that's an important thing to do. That's what healers do. That's what healthcare is about, not to devalue it. But, you know, the bigger picture is what is the health of the society? What is the health of the planet? And that all stems from these kinds of understandings. And, you know, we all growing up in a system, unlike what you grew up in which everyone is kind of fending for themselves and trying to make it on their own and make as much money as possible to take care of themselves, because there's no sense of connection or that, you know, we will be taken care of. And you know, I think on both sides, you know, I think in this election were many people, racist, bigoted, yes, but also in desperation. Because they were no longer able to take care of ourselves, because this despoiling has gone this far, you know. But you all have grown along so that the things that we give lip service to, or that people will put up a meme about on Facebook, is something that's deeply ingrained, that you actually live, and that you have to teach, and that you are teaching on this show, and that the people of Standing Rock are teaching and giving an opportunity for our country to redirect and learn. And, you know, if we don't learn, if we just continue with the, you know, the understandable mentality that we grew up with of, you know, I have to take care of number one because no one else will, you know, it's not going to... it's not going to land us in a good place. It's not going to come around in a good way. So, you know, please, people, share this information, get more information, contribute, go there if you can, protect the protectors, protect and learn from the people who are standing up for the earth and protecting us. You know, and that's where, give thanks to where our gratitude is due, really. And, you know, so that's our theme of Thanksgiving today. And, you know, when you're, if you're gathering with your family, if you're gathering together with others, say something about this. Bring gratitude toward the First Nation peoples of this land that gave us and continue to give us. And tell other people about this. Tell other people these stories. Have, you know, the fortitude to bring it up, even with people who maybe are unacquainted or don't want to know about this. You know, bring it up. Talk about it. It's important. And that can be part of your gratitude, as well as directly giving to the people who were fighting, you know, to protect the our water, our earth, and all of us at Standing Rock.
Yes, exactly.
So, any parting words, you know, from you, Carol, in terms of, you know, because this is, you know, tomorrow will be the Thanksgiving holiday for people, and, you know, like, what? Let's hear what your prayer and wish is.
My prayer and wishes is for this to end, that through this violence and the one love in the heart of the people is found and shall prevail, because what we will do by ceasing this will bring a brighter future to those to come. And when we walk that way, it will not only be for the Standing Rock people and this country, it will happen worldwide. Because the oil that is being exported will be going to countries that can't afford anything else. And it will continue to destroy the lives of people who live in poverty. We can't continue like this. We're not meant to continue like this. We need to think of renewable resources and a future that is bright, filled with sunshine, solar, and good ways, so we can find that love and respect. It's okay to slow down and acknowledge the good things around us and acknowledge that which is doing harm. When we do this, it spreads threefold, and what goes around comes around. By doing that, we spread the love and the harmony that Mother Earth is crying out for, and everyone's soul is crying out for it as well. I ask for peace. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us today, Carol Vandal of the Aquinnah Wampanoag Tribe. And thank you, listeners, for being with us on Connect the Dots. Take this wisdom and blessing with you to your gatherings, small or large, on Thanksgiving Day and for the year ahead. And be one of those on the path to receiving these teachings and wisdom, and to giving back in a way that of true gratitude that protects the water protectors, and all of us. And tune in next week for our next edition of Connect the Dots, next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Progressive Radio Network. Thanks for being with us this week. I'm Allison Rose Levy.
There was the sky.